section.
He's coming in.
When he's coming back in, if it's something real testy, then he feels it.
Oh, okay. He feels the hot points of the session.
Yeah, and he gets very upset when you don't get something. Oh, it just sends him right up a tree. And he's asked us, and we've told him, he's like, well, Bob don't get nothing. What do you mean? That's Bob's deal, trying to figure out what he doesn't get. And just be easy with it. But it's just this beating it down to the... And it just makes him crazy, because it's kind of like, Ion, would you please tell Bob whatever the fuck it is that he wants to hear so he will shut up and get on with this? And going through these thousands and thousands of hours just to get what some little something is, but then he says, but you know, Bob does get it.
Something.
And he goes, okay, so it's all right, so it's good. And there's no better spokesperson for the whole movement in the entire planet other than Bob. But this he wouldn't last 2 seconds, and we don't care. We understand.
Oh, wait, you meant JW would be... There's no better spokesman than JW other than Bob.
No. No better spokesman than Bob ever. And that's what JW would say in talking to us about it. Because it's kind of like, Ion, why don't you either shit or get off the pot and get Bob straightened out? This is mindless. I mean, he spends 20 hours trying to fend and he can't. Then we have the answer. And this is what JW would say. All right, Ion, you have the answer, and you give it to Bob. He says, no. Now I forgot what I was going to ask. Well, you know, how do you get there from there? And JW gets all flustered, and his blood pressure goes
up. That's his personality that's getting all
Of course. But he's feeling that place. He doesn't care for that, and he always feels that pulling when that's the case. And we just sort of, we've learned over a moment of eternity that you just roll with it,
until I get it.
Do it, redo it, and then remind you what you were trying to remember that you couldn't remember, that you were wanting to remember couldn't get to.
Yeah, fine. Hey, Carolyn, are you listening, Carolyn? Yeah, when I insist Bob's the best asker of questions in the world, he leaves out... He's a lousy recipient of the answers.
Yeah, he's the best asker, and when he can remember what he's asking. But beyond that we keep our little non-physical mouth shut. Yeah, you're right.
But he's the worst receiver of answers known to humans. But he uses that to get us to new places.
Yes, and it's very fine, and it's never an issue. But the only time it becomes problematic for you is when you're trying to go into something new, a new dynamic or something outside of your place of already established knowing.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot that's there, Bob, because you let everything go quickly. If that's what you know is the change, is the constant, you see.
Right. I know
so
the change
that's,
is the constant.
That's perfectly all right. But now... You're constantly looking at what is to gauge the barometer of your new wandering.
Wandering, W-A-N-D.
Yes, and that wandering is that pontification of you coming into a new understanding or overlaying.
Yeah, you mean W-A-N-D, not W-O. They might.
That's
both
correct.
Know, but it,
that's correct, correct, because you don't do much wandering.
I do wandering in thought, though.
You most certainly, absolutely do.
So if I had
did you get the understanding and overlaying?
Yeah, I got the word, and I think something is overlaying what I've been.
Better than understanding.
Yeah, it's overlaying. But it's not being understood by me.
Correct. And that's okay. Because those layers build up to where it doesn't make any difference anymore, or you finally move on. Either way, you're served well.
If I had showed up to someone else, and they could get, they didn't ask questions, but they didn't keep going on, and they had ability to get the answers.
They would think they got it, but they wouldn't. And then they would create contrast because of their misunderstood overlaying.
Right.
And they'd get themselves crossways. But you'll never get yourself crossways because you won't have it until it's thoroughly, completely, absolutely understood.
And fairly. Yeah, I'm not defending. I'm not making sure it finally fits into what I already know.
Oh, absolutely not. Right. Yeah. And it either gets easy with you or you forget it.
Right.
I mean, Bob, for months and months and months, when we would talk about 3-2-1, your response to that was, nah, we ain't doing none of that. Well, that's okay. But now all of a sudden you can explain 3-2-1 and have examples in your life
right.
where you have, by default, gone through a 3-2-1 process and realized many manifestations that you want.
Yeah.
See, that's the point. Manifestations you're doing anyway, but you want to know how to do it to get the things that you desire.
Right.
That's the point of being a marvelous creator, because you're a marvelous creator even though you're, you know, creating crap.
That's everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, is to get consciously...
So to have a process to show a human how to create, well, we'd say, well, just look at what you're doing now. That's creating.
Mm.
That's how you're doing it. No. We want to know how to get $1 million or a big mountain or a something. Well, we go, well, great, but did you make up your bed? No. Okay. Well, when you figure out how to manifest your bed being made, once you figure out how to do that, then $1 million is way easier than having your bed made.
Do you mean making the bed without touching the sheets?
Right.
Kind of thing? Yeah, okay.
Right. Yes.
All right, so...
That was good, by the way, Bob. Thank you very much. It was very pleasant.
Yeah, to continue... You mean the whole range, from the orbs through JW to me?
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted in the orbing business?
No, we're going to check to see what we missed, but I just wanted to say, if someone else...
God, I can't believe we actually are in Kirk Carolyn. We're just chapping Bob, and now we're encouraging him to go further and deeper into a topical conversation. Ain't that hysterical? I guess sadomasochism will always survive, won't it, Bob?
Yeah. Okay, so if someone else was interacting with Ion...
Yeah.
They would be always making sure that what Ion was saying was fitting in with what they know. And would they
or think they don't get it and just say, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Oh, yeah, I got that. And then when it's over, and you say, now, what did you get at? And they go, I don't have a damn clue.
Right. So they would be, there would be nothing for Ion to bounce off of, and it would have to stop pretty quickly.
Well, And we're giving both sides as we go, because many times they're busy so focusing on getting their name right, getting their questions out, that they can't hear the answers.
Yeah.
And then when they hear it later, just like you, all of a sudden many, many, many epiphanies are wrought.
Right. Okay.
And then you can hear the question and the answer within your own field of containment.
Yes, yeah, so that Carol and I and JW created Ion because...
JW didn't create Ion.
Okay, so Carol and I created Ion, and we probably...
This is the last thing JW would have created.
he was a big part of the... He was part of it, necessary, but he wouldn't have...
Really?
He wouldn't have initiated it, maybe.
Never.
So Carol and I created Ion. We wanted this. We did it. And it might serve usefulness for the rest of for people in the world outside of us. And
well, but who cares about them? You need to be worried about you.
Okay, so we created this. And only we could have created this? Were we of a temperament that could do this?
Anyone could create, Bob. Anyone can create, but it's a really good question. It's a very good question. What you're actually asking, since you don't remember, is how or why was having a relationship with Ion the fastest path to your joy? And the answer you know already is because you wanted a new outlet to increase the degree of understanding of the past that Dave Worster and the EGs and EG2s and EG8s and the Willowies and
right.
Seth and Abraham and all these others, Sylvia Brown and your little woman that you love out in Texas. All those, you wanted something that you had easier access to, that wasn't, that you didn't have to participate from a outside level. Because Ellie would always get you in.
Yeah.
But then the next thing you know, Carolyn's giving you that look. It's like, Bob, you've given $90,000 for these readings.
Right.
You know, enough. You know, you space it out. I'm buying a case of Snicker bars. Now, you can eat them all the day if you want to, but I'm not going back to the market for another week, so please yourself.
Okay, one on that point, it's interesting. This is where you try to figure out what you know. I had no clue this was going to happen, no clue that I wanted it to happen. And it's that area, you can say, obviously I did want it to happen, but I couldn't feel it, know it.
That you weren't going to engage it because you weren't going to have the disappointment if you didn't do it.
Yeah, I guess I was going, nah. So, nah, that would never happen. And I didn't even give enough thought to even go nah at it. Basically, there's no thought of it. But there was creation. See, this is the interesting thing. What is it that area we don't know, we don't hear ourselves talking about it. What is that area? Is that the larger part of ourselves?
Yeah, but you do hear yourself talk about it. It's a tell. People wonder how we know everything.
Right.
Well, it's real easy. If you will actually listen and stop wondering what you're going to ask next, if you would actually listen to what's being said, it's quite a marvelous tell. When we had readings, we'll bring it up. We'll say, gosh, seems to be a theme going on in this reading.
Mm.
Because that's what they go over and over and over and over and over. And the one hot button they apply to their cat, to their vagina, to their cooking skills, to their working jobs, to their money checks, to their relationships, to their households, to their mama's lawsuits, on and on and on and on. But it's always rounded back to the same simple thread with multiple examples.
The same simple thread in that individual client's life.
A theme.
Okay,
It's a tell because the words that they're using are the words that are setting up their next creation or manifestation. And that's true every single time without fail or exception.
Yeah, but most people can't see. You're talking about getting an x-ray of the person. Most people can't see what Ion sees in the x-ray.
Well, but that's what we're trying to say. We're trying to say if you can plug these all together on one extension cord, then you can. You can know the future. You can know the past. You can know every dynamic that's coming. You can know every deliciousness that is. You can see things in your future experience that hasn't occurred yet, really has, but you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can allow things to flow freely and easily into your life. You can have health. You can be happy. You can be and even married and not just engaged. But you can find things. Wonderful thoughts come to your head, and the next thing you know, UPS brings it to the door.
Right. Now, I sort of am not interested in getting techniques on that, though occasionally I like to have techniques to tell other people, because I just assume it's going to happen, or...
That's right. You don't assume. You know. The only things that happen are the things that you know. And if you can't know them, then you let them go.
Yeah, and I don't know I know
them. And when you let them go, then it shows up, because you don't have any pressure against it. And that's okay. We're not saying change it. We're just saying there's also defined creation.
That means conscious, directed creation?
Absolutely.
Which I don't do.
Yet.
Yeah. So you're recommending you might learn a bit about
No, we ain't going to tell you to do nothing. You do what you want to do, because that's what you're going to do anyway. Ain't going to push against anybody that says, and whoop the man that said it isn't so.
Right.
No, no. We're not here to change you. We're trying to give you words. If you find it to be so extravagant that you want to help the world, because they're less than, because they don't know how to do it, but if they ask you, you want words that apply to their dynamic of asking. That's good.
Okay, so I come up with the words, but personally might not be able to do it.
Well, but you are doing it.
Right, and I guess that's what I know more about, that I am doing it.
That's good. It's kind of wrangly, but it's good. It works.
I don't know where that creation zone is. I did not feel my yearnings or whatever wantings for Ion.
Yes, you did.
I felt it, but I didn't know they were about that. I didn't know they were about Ion.
Well, I understand. If you had of, then you might have been disappointed. So rather than be disappointed, you just leave it alone.
The reason I don't know is I don't want to know it, because I know it'll work better that way.
For you.
Yeah.
Yes, but now Carolyn does it very different. She'll only speak of what she wants in her experience.
Right. She goes
now,
on.
I could even say
she goes on about it too much, or doesn't think about
never.
Other things. She stays focused on it, in a sense.
And that's right. And twists it, even if it's something in her physical body that she's trying to get some clear direction on, she never speaks of it, but she works it out to get all of the goodie out of it that can be gotten. So then she doesn't have to deal with that any longer.
This is something that's bothering her in her body? She would get so
yeah, bad. Like if she has a phantom pain or something.
Right, she'll work on it to get all the good out of it.
The good, the contrast. She's learning. She, unlike you, is embracing any potential contrast to the point that she wants to make sure that she can say, and am I enjoying the contrast that is my experience? Because she knows the words that say, okay, if there's contrast, then this is the opportunity. And I can enlarge my universe, my world. I can be more than I am presently. And she's already vast. But that ain't going to tell you, she ain't going to stop there. If she can answer 14,000 emails, she's going to figure out the contrast and be able to do 28,000 emails.
Mm-hmm.
And run her world and your world and every other dynamic and clean up your messes and make sure you have food and,
right.
and on and on. So, but she likes that. And if there's contrast out of it, she may shut down for a minute. But it's not for long. She'll shut down for a minute because she can get good with it. And when she gets good with it, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, that was good. I spoke my piece. I counted to three. Now it's next. What's next?
Yeah, so when you say she gets good with it, she solves it? Is that what you mean?
It's happy with it. Maybe not solve it. So there are many anomalies that she's always working on. But she gets to a happy place with it.
All right, so she sounds way more working, way more involved with effort.
No.
Right, even though it's probably
not effort, it's considering.
Whereas I'm trying to be as dumb, unconscious as possible.
Inconsiderate
as possible.
With yourself, not others. You're considerate to other people.
Yeah, but not taking myself seriously enough to engage it, sort of. Inconsiderate.
Ever.
And that's, so ever. We are very opposite. We are extremely opposite.
Very,
oh, you said that.
Very,
there's nobody more different than us as a couple.
And very complimenting.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you had two of you, you'd starve to death and electrocute yourself to death. And if you were two of Carolyn, you wouldn't be able to find your way through because you'd both be so busy that nobody would ever figure out that you're supposed to get the food up.
Okay, do that again. If we were two Carolyn, everybody would be super busy?
Oh, Lord, yes.
And they wouldn't get anything done?
No, they'd get everything done, but everything they'd be getting done would be getting the other things done. And then they'd be cross with each other. Because the 14,000 emails that came in, the other one would have already answered, and then the other one would have been less than because they couldn't get to answer the 14,000 emails because they've got to be busy.
They feel left out.
We've got to be action-oriented and work this out now. And if there was no problems or messes of Bob's to clean up, then it would be like, well, great, now what?
Okay. So back to...
I think I'll go become an administrator of a hospital.
Okay, so orbs, okay, are believed to be ghosts. So they're not ghosts. Now, can we say ghosts are souls?
No.
Okay, that no, maybe we might need to make that distinction.
Let's work with that a minute, if you don't mind. Let's work with
that. No, I understand souls are residue. That's what we know.
Right, that's right. But it's the question is when if you talk about ghost, mm-hmm. what people think ghosts are, ghosts aren't. If you got a second, look up what the word says that ghost means. It might surprise you.
But are you leading to the point that ghosts, what people think are ghosts are actually souls?
No, what people think ghosts aren't. They're just balls of energy. They're just energy. That's all they are. But if you start talking about ghosts as in the ghost of my great-granddaddy business, well, that's also energy. Okay? So it can be vast in its meanings and mechanisms that they use to describe, say, like what we're talking about right here, right now, orbs. Same way with God. People talk about God and they don't have a clue who God is.
Okay, so we have here the definition, ghost, the spirit of a dead person, especially when believed to appear in bodily likeness to living persons or to haunt former habitats.
Okay.
Then there's the center of spiritual life, the soul.
Ah.
So they do include, they do have soul equal ghost in here.
I understand. But then what do they say? The center of spiritual life.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's not too anomalous.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you start going to the center of spiritual life, and if you're going to call that the soul, great, but we know different or more complete, that's a limiting definition. Is there any more?
A demon or a spirit.
Okay, yes, that's attached by the human creator.
A returning or haunting memory or image.
Ah, right, now it's a memory.
Right.
Now, memories, what are memories? Unprojected thoughts.
Unprojected. What's a projected thought?
A manifestation.
A spoken word. Spoken thought.
Correct. Good. That's good. That's good. Now, some may have deference with your words, but they're perfect. Spoken word is all that's required. Period. And they say, well, what's the process? Speak it. And they go, well, I did. Okay, but you didn't believe it. So speak it till you do believe it. When you do believe it, it'll be. Do you think it's kind of funny? This is just another side. We don't want to screw up your tape, but we may have already, so maybe not. The lady who was trying to get with child and wasn't too enthralled with her husband.
Right.
And we told her to knit. Ask her, we knew she did, but we asked her if she knitted, and she said yes. To do a whole layette, that means the little thing the baby's on and the little booties and the little hat and the little sweater and the thing you wrap them up in, to knit all that stuff. And when she got through with that, then she'd be with child.
Mm.
And she's and what was her response? Like, do I have to do all that? Well, no, but the process that it takes of the what to expect when you are expecting. That's what we really wanted to talk about tonight, but we don't want to tell you that because you get all crossways. But
yeah, I don't want to do that topic.
Right, good. But when you are expecting, not necessarily expecting a baby, but expecting anything, that is the best question. What do I expect when I find myself in a degree or level of expectation?
What do I find myself when I'm expecting?
What do you expect when you're expecting?
Mm. That would depend on the content of the expectation. But what you're
expecting. Well, would it? We don't know. That's the question. That we are just busting our testes or JW's testes, trying to get out here because it's probably a little, we sort of bantered upon it a bit, but we'd like to go into it a bit from the level or place, the human creator, let's just use you because we love you already. Let's take it.
Now, let me just go on record. It doesn't matter that you love me because you love everybody because you're sort of love anyway. So it's no big deal in your statement that you love me.
Yes, it is.
Okay, explain why.
Because force fields include or exclude.
Mm-hmm.
You can love Mother Teresa and never lay eyes on her.
Through force field.
Well, but no.
It's an emotion when you say love Mother Teresa.
Right.
It's a force field towards her.
That is correct. And you can include or exclude the wrought emotion from the dynamic of love. The reason we say that specifically for you, since you asked, is what we're trying to get you to understand is that your love for you is the modus operandi for your level and degree of creation.
Right, but is there anybody in Nakazil who doesn't love?
That's interesting, because when you understand that love is not an emotion,
mm-hmm.
there is a possibility that, yes, that could be the case. You could. It's not an emotion. See, as long as love doesn't become contrasting in non-physical, then in unlovely, an unloved being, as long as it's not contrasting, yes, Bob, in non-physical, there could be unlove.
By non-physical.
That's correct. That's correct.
That there could because be some non-force field. It could be non-force field.
No. It is a force field, but it's not an emotion.
Right, and we're talking about the force field. So could non-physical not love somebody? That means could non-physical not force field somebody?
Too many negatives. Cleaning it back up. Can the contrastless experience be experienced by non-physical? Yes. Every experience by non-physical is without contrast. So love is not an emotion. So you could love or not love without any contrast, and that could be experienced by non-physical. Damn it, Virginia, you've done it again. That's never been said before, Bob.
Yeah, and I didn't get it.
I know, but you will.
Are you listening, girl? She's not into this. So you brought in this contrast. I don't know. I feel like I'm not in the mood for these subtleties tonight. I wanted to go into these particular questions.
Of course, because we outed it when we said it's what we wanted to talk about. We knew better. So what would you like to talk about, Bob?
Well, we're going to go back. There are just particulars, but you were saying, okay, so I don't know what you said there. Okay, good. Start over again.
Well, then, no.
Can you not love somebody? And that means, does that mean not force feel somebody? Is that how we use the word love? Not force feel.
Yes.
And did you say there was a case where you couldn't force feel somebody?
Yes.
How would that be? How can you describe that?
Okay. Well, we don't know how to describe it other than non-physical would not be engaged with a human creator.
We know that people can cut themselves off from non-physical.
And when they do, non-physical doesn't care, and that's a very unloved position.
Right, okay, that makes sense to the force field of love. The force field of is the force field of existence love?
No.
Or is it just one of many force fields?
It's one of many. You haven't even begun.
Oh, okay.
The answer to that, you're just about getting to the good parts of the 6 degrees of separation, Bob.
Yeah.
And much of that is found in the 6 degrees of separation. Very good.
Okay, so 6 kinds of force fields, so to speak.
If you like those words, we don't have a problem with it.
Is love one of those 6 degrees of separation?
Absolutely.
Okay, so We know that people can shut themselves off from non-physical. That doesn't necessarily mean they shut themselves off from the love force field. They could shut themselves off five other kinds of force fields.
At least.
Right.
At least.
Okay, so, yes, so if you shut off from the love force
field. That's why we have such fun with Bad Romance with Lady Gaga. Mm. If you look at those words, I want your disease, I want your disease, and you're always going to be a slave as long as I'm in control. I don't want to be your friend, I want your love. Love, 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 love. See, that takes it out of an emotion.
Yeah.
That's why that is just so delicious. It's actually euphorically delicious because it's explaining to the humans that what you're calling love, you don't know what the hell is.
Yeah, it seems that she's mixing in the cliches of the definitions of love, but saying those, the emotions of love, but saying them in inappropriate paradoxes.
Whether or not, they're point very
toward,
appropriate.
To point towards force field, or not an emotion.
Right, because it's not an emotion. See, it could, instead of saying love, 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 it could be say, I want to control, 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 control.
Is that love? Is that
well, that's what many people think love is, and that's the false premise. That's why they call it a bad romance, the name of the song. She's pointing out that what you're calling love isn't what love is, and if you really knew what love is, my words start making sense, because that's what you ultimately do.
Right, so when she said, I want your disease, she was putting in the human perception of love as emotion. She knew it was limited as an emotion or not love, so she called it a disease.
And so that's
the
one
they don't. She was describing the emotions of love that people think love is as emotion. That's what she was doing.
Yes, yes, and perfectly. And people resonate with it. They don't know why they resonate with it. They don't. They
resonate with the truth of it, though they don't know.
The music, the beat, the timing.
But what about the concept?
Ga, ga, oh, la, la.
Yeah, they respond to that. But the concept, are they resonating with the concept?
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, and then you sit Lady Gaga down and say, what is you trying to say?
Yeah.
Well, what we're trying to say is that all human creators are monsters.
Yeah, and like she channeled this song in a way.
Yes, she does.
Because she doesn't know what, she wouldn't know to say what Ion's saying to explain the song, right?
Yes, she would not. And actually, see, and like Poker Face, which is also very, very, very popular. Now, we didn't want to turn this into her.
No.
But that song was written in 10 minutes when she had a hangover.
And she was trying to work something out, or she just channeling, so to speak? She just got
she just It just sort of dumped on her.
Mm.
And you do understand what the word poker face is about, don't you?
No, I know there is a poker face, but I haven't read the lyrics.
Well, you don't have to. We'll just tell you, short version. What she was feeling was she was having lesbian thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And she was speaking to her lover, who she was having intercourse with, not really, but in the song.
In her mind, she was imagining this as she wrote it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And having, sleeping with her male counterpart, and explaining to him that he'll never get her poker face.
Never get
she was
her
actually poker face, like she was all into him, but where she really was considering having lesbian relationships.
And when she says, you'll never get my, you'll never understand what's behind the poker
never
face.
You'll never see past
my
poker
face.
Right.
So, is that obviously what the song is about?
Yeah.
No, I mean, on the surface, for some reason, people hearing the song, for some reason, someone's telling someone else, you're not going to see my real thinkings, my real thoughts.
Right. And
why is
so
it in the song, is she saying that? What is the people supposed to identify there? What's the drama?
Well, if you look at the video, if you look at the video and watch that response of how she's trying to woo her man and explain to him, like, you know, let's see, how do I say this real kind and gently? I'll fuck you, but I'm really thinking about playing with someone else.
That comes,
and you'll never know, and you'll never know the better.
And that comes through, obviously, to the average listener, those lyrics?
If you watch the video, you do.
Okay. This idea of the song comes through when I remember Ms. Apple once saying, you know, his wife tried to get him on vacation. They went to a hotel, but all these songs get coming through him. So he really can't take a vacation because he's always have these songs coming through him. I think that my whole life of thought, I'm a thought artist, I'm always channeling because all these thoughts are always coming through me. And I'm channeling what I've been thinking all these years, right?
Yeah.
Now, well, are other people not channeling?
Why are you saying right? Wait a minute. Why are you saying right?
No, what people, like, they think, you know, this song came through Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And in 10 minutes, it just poured through her.
Yeah.
That experience of something pouring through her, I feel I have that quite a lot every day.
Yeah.
But I just sort of am always sifting it. Or is that what everybody's doing when they're thinking and listening to the chatter of their mind?
We don't want to make a vast generalization because, Bob, there aren't many people who do what you do because
they're not getting you. But go ahead. Just finish that sentence.
As much thought as you are having, you should try to allow some more of it to be astound. You should allow your thoughts to more greatly astound you.
You mean
your thoughts don't astound you any longer.
And so I got to come up with some more stuff to astound me? Is that what you're saying?
No, you could be astounded by the thoughts you're having now.
Yeah, he's not...
thought every thought could be thought.
He's not individually astounded, except when he gets on the phone with people and starts explaining himself. Then he sort of gets astounded when people are astounded...
Back.
Well, exactly. And see, that's delicious. No problem. But if it's
feels like by
good,
default.
But it's delicious because we love that you have the words. That's and understand them and can explain them. But if it's that delicious to be able to share it, it would be even more delicious if you had a thought, and then it became into your experience. And became as delicious for you without any validation or vindication from another human creator.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
I know. It's like you don't get astounded by
it. No, he said I don't. I meant I get what you were saying, but you're saying I don't get what my thinking is about?
No, you don't get astounded uh-huh. enough and be amazed by yourself until someone is amazed back at you.
Okay, so I was trying to say that that Lady Gaga does not have songs coming through her all the time. She got that song in 10 minutes, and then she might get one a few days later, right? That sort of non-ordinary experience where a song suddenly comes through her, I feel if that's unordinary, that's extraordinary. Most people don't have that inspiration. I feel I get that kind of extraordinary stuff every day or whatever. So you would agree that I'm doing that, right? And I'm so used to it, I'm not astounded by it. So
right.
many songs are coming through me that I don't write down, so to speak.
Right.
Okay, so then what were you saying, Cal, that I should get more astounded? Okay, well, what is that numbness of not realizing the astoundingness of it?
The constant anomalies. The questioning of your own veracity.
Oh yeah, I'm always underdying. You know, that's a palm reader. 1979, something that Carol met in my palms, and she said, I always remember this, that I tend to cancel out my thoughts. I have a thought, and then I come
yeah.
up with the opposite.
Yeah.
And that would not be so great because I'd never get any direction going or any realization or even manifestation.
Well,
so is that what we're talking about?
No. You get manifestation, but when you have a manifestation, you even question your manifested creations.
But that prepared me to do what we're doing today.
Well, great. But rather than argue for the limitation, we're just saying it's possible that you could in as Lady Gaga's channels that you are also channeling, as you said, more frequently or with contingency greater percentile than she is. Great, no problem there. But these knowings that come into your thought, rather than undoing them, go with them. And if you don't want to, rather than canceling them, you could just file them away for another day and not have to find the concave version of your convexed view.
Right. So,
good.
But I think that my erasing of my thoughts for 30 years was very unproductive from normal society's point of view. But I managed to...
But you didn't know and you didn't care.
Yeah, I didn't know and I didn't care, and I kept doing it. And then I find it might be the best way to be the ultimate asker of Ion. So,
well, if that's the goal.
Not the goal, but they prepared me to do that. And
yeah.
So that looks like a service came out of it, or something useful.
If it's serving you, right?
Right. I guess it served me. I was thinking that... I'm able to handle the canceling of thoughts because people live a constantly canceled environment today. And it's
not all of them.
What?
Not all of them.
But, you know, a lot of people are, and I'm able to handle it because I already live that way.
Yes, and that's good, and that particular aspect is fine. I mean, we're not undoing
it. But that is an effect from the environment, so that's kind of an effect by default. You know, we don't need to be limited by the medium and what's going on today.
Right.
I have a good defense mechanism for what's going on today, but I would say, well, don't even bother dealing with what's happening today.
Correct, because if you're going to call someplace paradise and then kiss it goodbye, we'd suggest you not kiss it goodbye or don't ever call it paradise, because then your rule then would become, well, then we must then kiss it goodbye.
But I do that. I never establish where we are, what we're doing. I have no problem being accused of not knowing where I am.
And that's okay. It's not about that. It's about if your job is to enlighten the world, we say the better world would be to enlighten yourself.
Right.
Or delight yourself.
And I can do that by focusing on some of the things that are happening in my thinking and not canceling.
Yes. Yes. And then it would flow fluidly and easily, and you could take the parts you like and not take the parts you don't. For example, if you're going to do London and it's a crappy show and it's not going anywhere, rather than keep beating it to death, say, okay, thanks, I'm going to the beach.
Well, Ben did that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Ion said the week before Ben stopped, you said Bob had outgrown it.
Right.
Okay? So then I start talking to Ben, and we're trying to do the show, and then he realizes he hasn't got the energy, and he's kind of saying he outgrew me or the show. So that happened, and of course I didn't care either way.
You're right. And you know why? Because you said, nah, I ain't having that. I can ride him as far as he wants to get rode. I'm good. To the point that it released you. You didn't release him, because you will talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody. No, really. We mean anybody.
That's right.
And no problem. And take their point of view, understand it, have conversation, and get good out of it, if there's anything good to be had. We can't imagine what that would be in that particular circumstance, but we're not the human creator, so it's all right. There's deliciousness that comes, however limited, there's deliciousness that comes. And if that's the fastest path to your joy, no problem. But as you came to that place, you were like, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. And I'll get great stuff out of it no matter what.
Right.
And then it is. It's good. Because you have a different dynamic of being able to have conversation.
That's right.
But you're not pining for somebody to talk to, though, are you?
Right, because I'm always talking to myself. That's the thought coming in. The thought channel.
But you're also inundated
with other people
wanting to talk to you all the time that really are interested in what you have to say.
That's right. So let's go back to Ben. You're saying I enjoyed Ben. You said something 5 minutes ago, a few minutes ago, that
you had outgrown Ben, and then Ben decided that he had outgrown you. So you got your creation without having to say, you dumb son of a bitch, I'm right. smarter than you are, and just because you can't figure it out, go to bed, and we're good.
Yeah, that's like Carolyn's method, you know. You don't confront them, and then they'll kick themselves in the head for you.
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
That's Carolyn's way. So the thing is, I would have carried on. I didn't even care. I wasn't getting anything out of it, so to speak. I still would have done
right.
it just to enjoy it. But he
exactly.
had, he had, so you're, did he pick up that I'd ungrown it and then pretended
yes.
that it was him?
Yes.
And would he have picked it up because he realized he couldn't convince me to his line? That's probably how he realized he's never going to get Bob to agree with Ben or to become Ben's thinking. That's what he meant. That's how he perceives me outgrowing him.
Can we just answer the question without
yeah.
any disdain?
Right.
Yes.
What was the question, Carol?
Outgrowing.
No, I outgrew him, but it didn't matter. But so you're saying he picked that up, that I wasn't controllable by him, or whatever he thought he'd get
right.
out of it. And then that meant, well, he was going to go find someone else that he could play with, that he could probably rope in. That's the thing. Is he sort of a control freak?
No. He can't even control his household. How's
right.
he going to control you, for Pete's sake? Carolyn can't even control you, and she's probably the best one on the planet.
Yeah.
She knows well not to try to control you. That ain't going to serve anybody.
Yeah, but Ben, I'm saying this his way, he needs someone that will succumb to him in some way that he feels he's teaching them. That's what I mean. Control.
No, he doesn't even care if he teaches them. He just lets what you have to know very quickly. And we're not picking on one human creator.
No, no.
We're discussing this as a topic that's not personal. But
right.
his reality is that he likes to hear himself talk. And as long as he can prove that he is more writer than you are happy, then fine.
Right.
And if not, then... Well, we've certainly reached an impasse.
Yeah, he's one of these types who'd rather be right than happy.
Pretty obviously,
yeah.
Though, huh?
Yeah, now what... how did he get himself into that preference?
Out. Dogma.
Okay, here's the thing. He went nuts in 1982. He was written about it. He had some mad experience. He was in France with a group of people... And they started experimenting sexually or something, and he had a great week, but he didn't know what to do when he got back to London, and he got into a weird state. Do you know what that was?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go into it. What was his state of mind that he got himself into?
Well, he started having delicious responses that he couldn't allow. And then when he experienced them, they were validated as very delicious, and then he couldn't express them because of shame and degradation, that any feeling place that you have is not appropriate.
So then he had to sort of forget that. He had to shut himself down.
He didn't forget it. He lost his mind.
That's right, because he does write. His whole ideology is based around that kind of deliciousness. That's really what he
right.
celebrates, and he looks for art that celebrates that. So
yeah, as long as they're from dead people.
you mean people, not our sense of dead people, but you mean people that have culturally come and gone.
Yeah.
He likes to celebrate what was, so he's not engaging the present. So what?
Because his present doesn't serve him. His present brings up these emotions that are inappropriate to act upon.
Right, so he's got this guilt and shame, and for some reason he has that stuff. Is that a British legacy or just something in his family that went into him?
Good gracious, no, it ain't even in his family, it's him.
he just decided to create that contrast for himself.
Yep, and I'll play with everyone who thoroughly and completely agrees with me.
Right, so he has this he had this deliciousness, and then he couldn't figure it out, and he wanted to feel bad about it. And then
don't bring Cambridge into this.
Right, and then he went mad. What is the feeling state of mad that he went? He became dogmatic, you mean?
Yes.
He went mad. I think he had a while of not being able to focus on anything. He didn't know where to position his thinking. His rules of his mind.
Well, and the psychotropic drugs didn't help anything either, so.
Okay, so he got quite confused in the labyrinth of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did he get settled again?
Did he?
Well, it sounds like he got settled by taking a dogmatic position.
Oh?
He found his strong...
The same problems that made him mad as the Hatter is the same issues that he's having now.
Right, and he told me that when he met me in April 2008 and I was there, after a good couple of conversations with me, he went downtown and he had an experience, a flashback of the madness.
Of course.
So my deliciousness I brought to him triggered that dilemma for him again, or made it quite prominent.
Yep.
And then he tried to figure out what it was by talking to me. How about this? He tried to figure it out by kept talking to me and sort of looking at the deliciousness I brought to him.
And it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
He even got sick. Is that why he got sick after the first few months?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got sick trying to deal with it.
And then he'd be all ready to go and he'd plan and he'd had to fill the time and stuff.
Yeah.
Then he'd start off and then 5 seconds later it's like, you know, I'm really tired. My daughter's not well. I'm not feeling good. I've really had a long day. It's been a long week.
Because of this unresolved thing that was...
Well, you were just putting your goober in his face, and he was like, well, great. You've got a goober. Great, Bob. I don't want your goober.
That's right. No, that's the thing. I would start... The one that was the last one, I was very excited that day, probably because we had a good cash flow or something. And I was very effusive. That probably was too much for him, right? My happiness was too much for him.
Right, because he's not interested in happiness. He wants to be right.
Yeah, he's like...
And you were like, great, be right. I'll be happy.
So that really made it...
Ben, were you right? Yes, Bob, I was thoroughly and completely correct. Okay, good. Thank you.
So now, do you think he'll want to come back? He's in retreat right now.
We don't.
Will he keep trying to figure or get back in touch with me to test his contradictions in himself?
We couldn't dare say, because whichever way we say, it'd be undone in a second.
Well, he's not finished with it. He's not finished with me in his mind, I guess.
Well,
no, maybe he could be finished. He's going to look for some other place to be.
He's pretty much run his course, because as conservative as he could run in the Labor Party, as conservative as he could run, he's still sort of out there for the average bear.
Right.
So there ain't many folks ringy-dinging him anyway. Well, he doesn't even talk to Esther. Why in the world would he talk to, would somebody else talk to him?
Right. Now, you made conservative... Okay, so he's come to, he's got to create something new now. You say he's run his course of his whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so let's, I think you said something earlier. We got in this because I manifested this show, or you started off, you brought up a lot.
Everything in your world is manifested, Bob.
Right, and that's true for everybody. But you start off saying...
Well, yeah, but we're talking about you.
Right. And you said the London... You start off this topic by saying, bringing up London, and I can't remember why you brought it up, as an example of something.
Well, we were trying not to use Ben, so it didn't corrupt your take.
Right, right. But that's all right. So we're using... You brought up London as an example of me doing, I think we're talking about conscious directed creation, or maybe that was too far before that. I'm not sure what the issue was when you brought up London.
London was been.
I know, but I don't know why you brought it up. You brought up to illustrate something.
We were talking about what Carolyn was talking about earlier, about when you convince someone else or they get your words, that's the validator for you.
Right.
And the conversation was, even looking at Ben's conversation, it should be a very practical way for you to look at it and go, oh, yeah, that is sort of how that is. Good.
You mean to look at what I said during the Ben conversations?
And his response, and then your response to his response.
What will we learn about that from that?
How complete you are and how screwed up he is.
Yeah, and many people, well, not that many, but the people that I talked to saw that. In the end, they saw him as pretty screwed up.
Well, of course.
Okay, so let's go back to orbs. We were talking, I think there was more there. People have these energies that become orbs in front of them, and they're not ghosts. So we were doing ghosts, and did we finish? How's a ghost different from a soul? That's what we were. And we have the word soul in these definitions.
You can have a Holy Ghost, which would be your non-physical,
mm-hmm.
that comes to move into your heart, your
right.
inner kingdom. And you can have a ghoulish ghost, which is energy of some frustration or less thanness.
Yeah.
That gets to be, that becomes like a haunting or a residue from the soulish aspect.
Yeah, like, why, can we say why a soul is not a ghost? They're both residue.
No, they're not. A ghost isn't necessarily residue.
Oh, what could it be then?
Well, by the definition it says that it's energy. Or the remembrance the better word would be the resilience of tactility.
Okay, whereas the soul is?
Where the soul is the residue of a completed meat sack.
Right, what was the example in the reading? It was a pitcher. Yeah, a picture.
Yeah.
So the soul is an energy. It's the completed of the development of the energy, whereas a ghost is an energy, but not a completion, but a particular characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A particular, almost an emotion.
Yeah. So close that that's an okay word.
Right.
But see, we have to be very careful with you, because when you get it, you get it. So and when we answer, it's got to be every single time without fail or exception, or it's like, yikes.
Yeah, uh-oh, it led nowhere, because we have the exception that makes mm-hmm. it not maybe applicable.
But many times, it's still apropos, it's all right.
Right, so this soul is a completed picture, and there could be sloughings off of that soul, energized parts of the soul's life, that are crystallized in one emotion or another as a ghost. It's like
possibly, yes.
They're extensions of the soul, or partitions, or
partitions, yes. But we have to, again, we have to be careful, because that is, however true that statement is, you can find many examples where it wouldn't necessarily be the case.
Right, but there is definitely, if you're encountering a ghost, it's different than me talking to McLuhan through a medium.
Yes.
You know, I'm not talking to a ghost. I'm not talking to a ghost when we talk to McLuhan. We're talking to either the non-physical in the gut part or the soul residue.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and the example of that is Legion, when these things can, when you have to get possessions. That's the difference.
Oh, Legion, what possesses people? A soul or a ghost?
A ghost.
Ah, but there can be walk-ins. Are walk-ins ghosts possessing someone who allowed themselves?
Their souls.
Ah, so possession is a ghost occupying somebody. A walk-in is a soul occupying somebody. Okay, well, there's a new distinction.
Mm-hmm. And the individual human creator can embrace as complete or incomplete as their belief system allows.
Right.
So you would never be possessed by a ghost. You know why?
Because they don't believe that could happen?
Well, even if it happened and your head twirled around and you grew fangs and you know, your meat fell off your bones, you'd go, nah, I ain't having none of that, blah, 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 blah.
And it would go away.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You said soul. You said soul. They're whirling around. That's a ghost, like Linda Blair, a ghost possessing a person. That needs to be exercised. That's a ghost. But a soul, there might be a movie or two about a soul walking into somebody.
Yeah.
It must be one or two around. But I just had a thought that, okay, what was it? So the, as we make out these distinctions, I've read a bit of theosophy in some of these occult systems. And Madame Blavatsky will say, well, a ghost is this, a soul is that. I don't know if she did in that particular stuff, but they make distinctions like that about the non-physical or afterlife world. And I keep thinking, well, we're going to redefine these things, but I'm not too keen in making a big encyclopedia. It doesn't inspire me because then it just becomes a Bible and
it
dogma.
It becomes something that they judge their experience of how they're less than because they don't understand it.
Yeah, a book is not as good as having a radio show every week where the show is constantly regenerating, canceling, generating new aspects of the ongoing topic. So you don't even bother writing it down to freeze it and then get stuck there, you see. So I'd rather have the encyclopedia of the shows being made and different thoughts or different memes come up, and someone should notice that 2 weeks later we talk about that meme differently. Another aspect comes in, and that's showing the endless change of life, which is really a more important message. But we are making distinctions. We might write a little dictionary about what a ghost is, and that. But we'd always say, now this is subject to change because of human allowance, human adaption of
it. And then the book aspect is not freezing it in time, but it can make it appropriate for many people to engage it, like your caller that said, send us, transcribe it. Some people, not everybody does it like you do it. Some people like to
read it. Yeah.
Read it.
No, we can provide that service. So, but if within that service of providing a dictionary, we are going to clean up and do it better than Blavatsky or anybody else did in previous books, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So
we hope so, or we wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So, and it
you don't have to worry. Carolyn won't have that. It's going to have to be right, or she won't have it.
Right. But it will be the last book, so to speak, because it'll be a platform for people to not be concerned about these issues, because they'll understand them, and then they'll practice living forever or whatever. You know what I mean? Okay. So that's a good distinction. So the next question is. Are there two ions?
At least.
Yeah, I think you said that there is. This just came up to me, you know, listening to the relaxed thing brought up some of these questions. Ion has said that there is a Bob and Carolyn talking to a JW who has ion coming through them in another world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's being done.
At least another world.
Right. Are there more than one Guff?
No.
Right. I thought that we, at one point, maybe, Ion said, yeah, there are two Guffs, maybe a couple months ago, but it said that there was only one Guff, but then this sort of confusion.
No, wait, we'll clean that up.
Yeah.
There's one Guff, but it has a couple of parts.
And these parts may connect to different worlds.
They do connect to different worlds.
Hmm. So, okay, so, Well, you do have that in the chart. You got the two worlds streaming into the Guff from different funnels, you know, going
yes,
into the,
right.
That's what you mean. Different. It works. Okay, so why wouldn't there be two Guffs since there's two of everything?
Because how do you segregate a contrastless experience into more than one outcome?
Right. So All of the experience.
That was good, by the way.
Right, and the follow-up is all experience, not in the guff, is contrasting and degrees of separation,
well,
maybe.
No, not in the guff. Yes, I had to watch the negatives.
I mean, when you were not in the guff, but you're in transition, you're floating in eternity, there's no contrast there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and therefore there's not two of that situation. So only two.
Now, they give examples of that, like when someone is dead and they haven't gone what you call into the light yet. They make references of that. That's that in process part of going to the guff.
Now, are there two in that situation?
No, that's just one.
Yeah, there's only two in the physical world.
Yes.
It's only two of everything.
Well, yes.
But there might be a degree of overlapping.
That's right. There are sometimes, yes. Because see, every time we say it's got to be complete forever, and it's just never, never complete ever. But
yeah, there's overlap.
So close, it's okay.
Yeah, like the soul and ghosts are like overlaps in between physical and non-physical.
Yes, and we have an example that would be. That would undo what you just said, but when that's not our goal, but we want to bring it up. Let's say you have someone who is undead.
Undead would be dead. There's dead and undead.
Well, no, let's just say croaked.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Undead is vampires, right? Undead.
Right, yeah. But this would include that as well. That's why we said it. Let's say they're croaked. And let's say their non-physical has completely transitioned to the guff, and even their residue, no one's thought of it, no one's including it, nobody knew them.
That disappears? That does evaporate.
Disappear. It evaporates and is gone forever. Then somebody decides that they want to have a seance. Okay?
Yes.
They kumbaya and hold their hands and lick their wicks and do their things and have their little eye and newt cocktails, and they engage. And they want to draw this transitioned, non-physical human creator that has transitioned.
And disappeared? Or
back.
Yeah, the disappeared one.
Yeah, the
they don't know. One. They don't know it's disappeared.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so that's the anomaly. Is there are those occasions where you can reanimate a dissipated residue of a soul.
Right, because since every thought exists, you can't totally annihilate the soul that's disappeared.
Right?
Because everything exists forever. So even it's so weak and disappearing, it looks like it's gone, but it's still there and it could be activated.
That's the point.
Yeah, that proves that nothing dies because it could be activated, even though it's almost like an antimatter. It's a kind of an antimatter.
Yes, and you can engage antimatter. Well, to say that sentence in itself is just silly.
Yeah, but hold on. Right now, in the context of ghosts and souls, what is antimatter in the context of this discussion? It's not the souls.
Mm-mm.
It's not the ghosts.
Mm-mm.
It's a mirror of the physical world. It's involved with physicality, right?
Yes.
It's not involved in non-physical in the contrast. There's no antimatter in the contrastless non-physical world. Correct?
That is correct. That is correct because there's also no matter in the
non-physical, right. So antimatter is a part of the rule of duality in the physical. It's an anomaly or a factor that's necessary, like a mirror image. So,
well, it's used by the human creator to balance.
Right. Now, I just thought of something. All this stuff that we're getting tonight and over the last few months, which has never been heard before, this makes me and Carolyn super intelligent pretty immediately if we allow these concepts. We're walking around with totally different content in our brains and our thoughts now, right?
You are.
In other words, I'm not trying to make it a vain thing, but we're walking to the beach emanating thoughts that no other human has ever had before.
Right.
Which makes us...
And having a way to validate your notions of potential understanding.
By checking back in. By checking back.
Overlay.
By checking back with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, what's the overlaying? Now, here's where the overlaying meaning comes in. We overlay...
The opposite of understanding.
We overlay what we know by checking with ION. That's overlaying.
If you can understand it long enough, then you overlay it.
If I can understand the things we've learned from ION, and then I overlay it onto the rules I already have in my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm overlaying. This is where you don't give up your old rules, but you overlay clearly.
Carolyn, you've been slapping Bob with a happy stick. He's getting it tonight.
Did you hear that last bit, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I understand that Ion says you never can get rid of the rules you have. Now, that could be better said, you never get rid of the rule-making function. That's the function of the mind. The content can change, but even trying to get rid of the old content because you want to put in new content rules is not completely a big deal. You don't have to really try to get rid of your old rules, but you can overlay rules in there, what makes you more flexible, right? Overlay new rules or concepts.
Of course, of course. Very good. Thank you very much for allowing JW to have some saltiness. It keeps his voice flowing freely.
Well, did we allow that?
You did. Because normally they'd have been screaming because he had to have the kettle chips, the sea salt and vinegar kettle chips.
Yeah.
And they're very loud because they're super duper crunchy.
Oh, there was a little bit of loudness, that you were saying. So.
Yeah, that's right. And we were saying thank you for allowing him to do that because it made all the sharpness out of his voice get cleaned right back up.
And what did he have that was crunchy?
Kettle
chips. He had the kettle chips. So it wasn't that noisy. It was just slightly. But you're saying that's why there was noisy. Okay, he had some chips.
And we're very thankful because Carolyn normally won't have that.
She's not even listening. I think you
overestimate
Carolyn's concern
laughing.
About these things. She's
laughing right now.
She's laughing? No, but like she's not that concerned, it seems.
Yes, she
sometimes
is.
Sometimes I am.
Yeah, when it's Bob stuff, she doesn't matter what happens to her. Okay.
Well.
Okay, so we got this, we got the soul, we were talking about the overlaying of rules. What was the great thing I came up with there? The
understanding and overlay.
Yeah, but just before that, the content that led to that. About Carol and I being different, right. So we're walking along, and people who would allow themselves to engage a different energy will notice us. Others who are shut down, don't want to take anything, they won't notice anything. But those that notice... that are open to allowing new experiences, we're emanating even stronger to them than before, probably, right?
Well, would you like to know what you're really, really doing?
Yeah.
In your area, in north of you, you are churning...
The wind! This is what the wind is. I was going to ask that. Right? This is all that. I'm just making a little prediction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I was going to ask, why is all this wind happening? Go ahead.
Because you're churning the dead bottom part of the ocean, and from a low oxygen base, and you're churning it. And it's almost like sometimes even a methane gas gets mixed with it. That the lightness is stirring it up and causing great big bubbles of low hypoxia gas.
Yeah, so the way I understand that is we are stirring human knowing with these new information bites that are coming to us. And therefore, metaphorically, if you think of our minds as this dormant unconscious, though we don't like that word, dormant parts, now being activated, that always were, it's physically mirrored in the ball, the globe. Its deeper parts are being churned for the first time, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what and we're showing talking. Up.
So these bursts of hypoxide, or whatever you said, are causing
low oxygen.
Vacuums that makes the wind rush into them on the surface of the ocean.
And it's gonna be interesting. It can become a thing that they would want to scream about.
Right. Now here's the thing. Here's what's interesting, Carolyn. I'm walking today, Barbara Ann's here, and I said, Barbara Ann, isn't this a bit windier than last year and whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And we played back, and she says, yes. She says, well, you remember what she said? She says, yes, it is. It's not been like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, sort of jokingly said, I told you, Barbara Ann, that lightning hit the island last December, and Paley has left us.
Wow.
Okay, so I made it, we're on our own. We're, you know, Paley's pissed. So I was joking on that level. But behind it is me. I'm really saying, hey, Barbara, something's going on in this island since Bob and Carolyn got here. You know, that's what I was thinking. Now, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I'm thinking it. And then I'm walking to the beach, and I'm thinking, geez, we're probably causing this. And this is shitty. The wind is too windy on the water every day, which is what Ion just mentioned, that some people, if they found out we were doing, they'd piss out because it kind of ruins. The beaches are bare, Carolyn. People aren't having any fun. They can't sit out there. It's too windy.
Well, you better change it then.
Okay, no. I'm not making a judgment out of it. I'm just talking this process. Now, what's extra incredible, we can talk to something called non-physical that can fucking fill in what we're thinking.
If we only listen.
No, we listened a bit. I'm just responding.
Say.
Don't be silly. We heard what it said. I'm going to let it speak, but I just want to show you the excitement of this. Show you, humans may have thought they stirred up stuff, but they never had non-physical to get it validated. Like, this whole thing is way beyond human. This is so new. This is way beyond first contact. You know what
and
I mean?
And then Ion, we are so cheeky that we say, now, you do understand the winds and the waves obey your will. Now, that's pretty dynamic, and they go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do know like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, thanks, great, good, win.
But we are noticing in it, well, I'm noticing in my little experience, that the waves haven't been rising totally, but I accept them not rising because I figure other things are going on.
Why?
Because it's so windy. Maybe it's not being dramatically increasing, but there is a few big waves that come in, but they could be tossed off as just freaks. But it's not that I'm trying to make a big deal out of it. The point is...
Whether you do it, whether you don't, all we're trying to get you, not just you, but everybody, when we make a statement like that, is saying, why would non-physical find it imperative to say the winds and the waves completely, every single time, without fail or exception, obey your will?
Yeah, why would Ion be telling us that? What's the point?
Because that's the way it is.
Right.
And the sooner you figure that out, the better it'll serve you. Or you can spend the rest of eternity questioning your power and considering how less you are, or it's a freak, or it's a not, or it's a this, or it's a that, when you could just come into your power and then everything would work out for you the way you want it, period.
Okay, so let's go into this. We're stirring up the ocean, and if the head of the tourist board here in Maui found out that's what was happening, Bob and Carolyn talking to Ion is doing this, they'd be upset. But what, aside from that, and that's what you meant, that some people would be upset, right?
Oh, no, we don't really care.
No, you don't, but you said, you started to say, and it could become an issue if people found out that we were stirring up the ocean.
Oh, yeah, it will.
That will what?
Become an issue.
You're saying it will.
Yeah.
They're going to find out it's us?
No, they're going to find out that is.
Ah,
that never happened before.
And what is that never happened before?
The hypoxia water from the bottom of the ocean that's going to kill things because of the low oxygen level. And then only things that are going to grow in that are these monster squids from the sci-fi days. You know, the squids that are 100 feet across.
They're going to grow there?
They are.
Okay.
Because they live in that environment. It works great for them.
Okay, so maybe we should get some geology or whatever you call this. There's something in the
starting north of you in the from north of you from the Alaska's down.
That big expanse, thousands of miles north of us. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't have limitations, so you don't want it right in your door. But
don't want what right in our door?
This nasty hypoxia'd ocean water.
And that's okay. Is that happening over that huge north of us range of water?
Well, it will.
And it is happening because we're stirring up and interacting with ion in a way and with non-physical that humans never done before, and matter is going to respond to that.
It is, because you don't want it around. You don't want it around Hawaii, because you'd go to the beach and then you'd have 10,000 dead starfish on your beach.
So there is death going on way up there in the vast oceans up above.
Oh yeah.
Because of this weird stuff down the bottom. Is it just oxygen?
Stirring up. Bubble, toil and trouble. If we've said it once, we've said it a thousand times.
Yeah, we're getting richer images for what you're saying. So you're saying the
oxygen... That's okay.
Yeah, the oxygen down there in the bottom is being chemicalized with other things.
No, it is becoming... It stays in the bottom, but the churning would bring it up naturally. But instead, it's making a cap, which makes it concentrated, and then you'll have great big spurts of methane gas, you'll have...
Come out of the ocean, like looking like whale spouts. That's going on? Has any scientists...
Oh, bigger than that. This is vast, Bob.
So scientists observing that?
They will.
Yeah, not yet. It's just starting.
Well, yeah. No, it's been going on for a bit, but they're not very attentive, Bob.
Right, but a bit is like 2 years or, halfway through the Bush administration, just to give you a juxtaposed time.
Of beginning or what?
Yeah, the beginning of the shooting, these shoots out of the water, these sprays.
Last September.
Well, since we started doing ion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're having vast changes in matter going on in our little kind of loop address here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. So these poisonous bottom gases are coming up and affecting surface matter, which dies.
They're not poisonous. They just have a lower degree of oxygen.
But it kills starfish.
And lots of things.
So there's all this dead stuff floating around. We don't want that here. But the rushing wind is a result of that. And this rushing wind is coming back down 500 miles, so to speak?
Oh, it's more than that, yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's actually going toward it.
Right. Well, it's going south. The wind...
No, it's going north, Bob.
You know how, Carolyn, generally it looks like it's going this way, right, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
It looks to us it's going in a southerly direction towards the big island.
Okay.
But it's coming from the north.
If you're standing at the beach...
Yeah.
...and you're looking at the water...
Yeah.
...is the wind hitting you in the face or hitting in the back of your head?
The side of my face.
Okay. Then it's a northwesterly wind.
Right, and that means it's coming from the northwest.
No, that means it's going toward the northwest.
Well, certainly even Carolyn would agree that's the opposite of what we think we're standing in. Right, Carolyn? Carolyn agrees with me. Maybe you see things upside down from non-physical, different. No, it's coming, hitting our right side of our face.
No, but you don't know. It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Well, they call this the southwest shore, and isn't... No, maybe Big Island is north of us, Carolyn. We think it's south, but if in a map, I think it's up above us, going north.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. In that sense, yeah, we suddenly have corrected our image of where we are for the first time. Yes, it's actually going north to Big Island.
Yeah.
No, okay, good. All right, so it's coming from the south and going north.
And it ain't the first time we've done it, it's just the first time you've got it.
Yeah, no, we have always been told or thought that, Big Island seems to be, it's sort of odd, it's sort of south of us.
Mm-hmm.
But that, actually, when you see it on a map, they show it above us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's getting those two things lined up is good. Okay, so we have this, it's coming from the south, But the action is happening up. Oh, it's rushing into the vacuum created up north.
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, Carol, it's rushing into a vacuum. I think I know something about vacuums.
And I just sent you something about methane gas and the ocean.
Is it methane gas we're talking about, Ion?
Yes.
But the... Okay, so in the context of that, we can understand that we did create the tsunami. We did divert it. We're actually doing some amazing laboratory. We're doing way beyond HAARP here.
Oh, perfect. So now when the questions come, did HAARP cause the earthquakes? We'll say, no, it was Bob and Carolyn.
No, but we won't say that, but that's what you... The point is...
Why not? You did.
Okay, yeah, we might as well say it. You did tell David, you said they... We who are these parallel world guys coming over, and what's their name? And I said, Bob. Hey, are we parallel worlders, JW? I mean, we do it unconsciously. But did we show up? Did we?
Yes,
I mean, Carol, you were born in the other world and came over with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we're actually like Gurgi.
With her twin.
Carol's twin.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're like Sun Ra and Gurdjieff and Cap'n Beef are from other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Steve's not from another world. We were talking about that. We're talking about being another... We're all from other worlds and have doubles and all that, right? But within the ratios, some people come from other worlds, like Cap'n Beef, Gurdjieff, and Sun Ra, and most don't. Are we and Carol and I in the category coming from other worlds, like Beef, Sun Ra, and Gurdjieff, as we've talked about them?
I am. You aren't.
It's okay if I'm not, but it's...
As you've talked about them, it's quite a limiting dynamic.
As I talk to them, you mean? I talk to them.
We're okay with it. No, we're okay. It's not a problem. We don't want to get you down this path and then have to clean it up later. But from the dynamic that you're speaking of, yes. That would be appropriate and correct.
Is Barbara Ann too?
No.
And neither is Steve or anybody else we've talked about. So we're a bit odd.
No. And we love her. We really, really love her. By the
I
way.
Know. We love Steve. We love everybody. We got no problem.
Well,
with
maybe not.
No. But let's... The interesting thing is, if this ionic thing is pretty big, it's going to happen with or without us.
Yep.
And it brings in parallel world talk and tells people about what they never knew about parallel worlds, then wouldn't be good mediators, good PR people for the ion phenomenon would be people who were from other worlds. Us, you and me, Carol.
Well,
good candidates.
Not only in the sense that we can expand our brains beyond others.
Correct, because those ascended ones, the ones, the witnesses that you'd want to call to validate it.
Like the observer in the fringe, the bald guy.
Yeah. You'll never get them to engage. They're always going to observe. They're never going to validate a vindicated position from the anomaly that is their knowing.
Right, so Bob and Carol are not ascended at this point. We're pretty ascended, but we're not like the observer. We're like the last representatives of the humans. We're in the interval.
There'll be no difference. You're not, Bob. No, you're just not. The only difference in your process is that some of these dynamic thoughts you're able to embrace, and some of them you have not yet.
Mm.
Doesn't mean you won't.
Mm-hmm.
But you have not yet. But that does not in any way reflect on your degree or level of ascension.
Well, these observers sounded like a little more ascended than us. Did you mean that?
Well,
they are, but they're different from us. They're not engaged.
How?
They're not engaged the way we're engaged.
Are you engaged? You don't even know if you eat food.
Yeah, we're engaged. We fake it. We look
they
engaged.
They never laugh. We have
they
more
don't
fun
have,
than they do.
No, they don't have these ascended non. These are guys that are overseeing CERN and that, right? We've talked about these parallel world observer guys, correct? That's who we're mean. Those kind of people. You agree?
Well, that's not the kind of people we mean.
Oh, who do you mean by observer or?
We mean. Well, no, no. The observer, the only thing that the observer is in a TV show,
yes,
is laid out that way.
Yeah.
But, and they're not attached. Well, you're the most unattached one there is.
And Carolyn, too.
And Carolyn, too. But at least she takes the space of where she is in a perception, and you don't even do that. You won't even give that much attention to it.
So that's why the guys in all Slack think I'm a nut, a monster. My detachment just bewilders them, I guess.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that's it, the detachment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't know, and you don't care.
Well, I don't care, but they kind of intuit, this guy is either totally a robot, a nut, because they can intuit there's a level of detachment that's not human as they understand human. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
That's what okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So back to, so Carolyn, you were saying that you have the observer on the fringe, which is an exaggerated model, but you're saying...
Of you.
Of us. Okay, so we're...
No, you.
Me.
Carol's me. Not that way.
Oh, okay, me. Yeah, okay, he's like me. I agree. And the... So we're... You were describing the ascendant as detached, so I'm ascended to that degree of detachment. But we are...
That would be like saying... that. Yes, and now, just a second. And that would be like saying Walter is not ascended because he can't remember. Well, he certainly is, and he certainly does, and he certainly is. Just because he can't... He does remember, he just can never remember when he's supposed to remember.
Right, but he... Which sounds like me.
Right, imagine
half,
that.
Yeah, half the time. Other times, I astound JW by what I remember to say, you know. The,
yes.
But
well, and when you're the best at it, it's when you are engaging another human creator
to
explain these anomalous analogies.
Yeah, that's
that are.
This is an interesting point, Carol. I always need a co-host to do something with because I'm understanding maybe for the first time. I'm so detached, I can't do it by myself because I don't care. I have to have a human being interact with me to get me going a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just observe until it lays itself out.
This statement, I just observe, is when I'm not engaging with someone.
Right.
Until a time comes to engage. But so the observer, the bald guy in the fringe, he's no more ascendant than Walter, but he has a different position in the game. A different...
Yeah.
Right? He has a different position.
Yes. A different level of engagement.
Okay.
Do you want to go into the methane gas? I sent you the article.
Oh, you mean you found something already?
Oh, it's already out. It ain't supposed to be out
I'm
yet.
I'm afraid it's out.
Oh, sorry.
Science Daily, September 3rd, 2009. Scientists worry that rising global temperatures accompanied by melting permafrost in Arctic regions will initiate the release of underground methane into the atmosphere.
Were you talking about methane ion?
Yes, and hypoxia and oxygenation.
And ion said it started last September, and this is dated September, so approximately the same time. Right, ion?
Mm-hmm. So, an MIT paper... elucidates how this underground methane in frozen regions would escape and also concludes that methane trapped under the ocean may already be escaping through vents in the seafloor at a much faster rate than previously believed.
And all this stuff is being caused by us interacting with ION, which that would not be fit their rules, but we're doing this, right, ION?
Yes, yes, and it ain't engaging with us, you're just doing it anyway.
Why do we think it's necessary to release methane?
We don't have a clue, but it must be very important.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying it would happen without us engaging with ION?
Yes.
Well, that's the Bob and Carolyn world. They come in doing stuff. So Carolyn and I, have we activated a lot of stuff over the last 40 years?
Well, you think? Yeah.
I've claimed I have. I claimed
well,
I did, but
well,
it turned out to be true.
And you're surprised why?
Oh, I don't know, just so I can hang out with the guys, you know, pretend I'm a human, something like that. But I was just going to say, can we talk about this on the show in terms of Bob and Carol, or is that...
We lopped your head off, we couldn't stop you.
Well, I think it would be shocking, because for them, Carolyn would engage on this level because she's a rational doctor.
Well, then why don't you do it from a dynamic of pointing it out, and you don't have to take full credit, personal.
Yeah, we can start talking about what's happening here in Maui in the wind, that we can talk about the changes that are happening here.
Well, there was a recent striking discovery by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of a plume 1,400 meters high at the seafloor off the Northern California margin. This plume, which was recorded for 5 minutes before disappearing, is believed not to be hydrothermal vent, but a plume of methane gas bubbles coated with methane hydrate.
Why are you going, geesh? It's just more methane stuff, Carolyn?
Yeah.
No, methane hydrate you don't want a stoop full of.
Yeah, this is dangerous stuff.
That's coming from the deep earth or something.
So,
right,
yeah.
Right down, deep earth stuff?
Yeah, so I can go into questioning about this, and then Bob can, you know, throw in where's this coming from. And then anomalies, it's like the woo-woo anomalies section where that cruise ship got hit by 3 successive mini tidal waves.
Oh, when was that?
Last week.
Oh, yeah? Did they die?
34 people.
They got swept off the boat.
Something like that.
Like these Moby Dick waves just popped up.
Yeah, I want to know where they came
from. Yeah, I mean, these boats are 40, 50 feet up in the air, and the wave goes over the boat. Pretty significant.
Yeah, you mean the boat. The boat itself is quite high. There's big boats, and the wave goes over the boat.
Seen.
Yeah, they're in and forth. That particular one was like 14 stories up.
Mm-hmm. And this wave just popped up out of the blue? One big wave just popped up, a short-term wave, and just went over it?
Yeah.
So 3 of them, but yeah.
Okay, so the thing is, we could, you know, Carolyn will lay out this stuff, and then I could jokingly bring in, well, this is what I've done. But that's more the Bob Dobbs guy, you know. It's not Bob Nevert, really. But
you can discuss it and talk about the anomalies of it, so yeah.
Right, no, I'm just thinking, but if I start saying Bob, I mean, you do say James and Bob crash economy, maybe that's true now. We know Bob's from another world and intermediating. Here's the way I look at it, is that, you know, as a human mind, I don't know if I am as phenomenal as it looks like it is, because we naturally are skeptical about everything. That's the human condition. We don't believe our lying eyes, right? Or we choose to believe some things. We mix it up. But the thing is, if iron is that significant, then, and it's a complementary to the thinning of the veil, it's a figure for the ground shift that's happening in the thinning of the veil, then you might need two people who are intermediators between the worlds, me and Carolyn, to be part of it. So does that mean JW is one of us parallel world people too? Tunk came from another world?
No, he came from this world, but he doesn't spend much time here anymore.
So he started, it sounds like me and Carolyn came in, quote, ascended. JW started off supposedly lowly, unascended, and then went ascended, right? Something like that? We've descended. JW ascended, and Carolyn and I have descended to the point we can't remember what we're doing. Would you go with that, Ion? No, you wouldn't go with that. But so you're just saying JW, he did not come in like Beefheart, Sun Ra, Gurdjieff, you know, a parallel world, which you're saying we're partly like that, right, Carolyn and I? Partly. That's what my mother was picking up on.
Yeah.
When she's, and was that all? Well, we're almost like in the movie The Fringe, it's like Walter and Will and Belle, where they go to other worlds and come back.
Yeah, if Olivia meets us, she'll see the fuzziness around us and spot us as parallel worlders.
Yeah, Olivia, she had a distorted youth too. So the thing is, we're not trying to, not trying to make a big deal out of the sign, but it is useful for us to know that we came in a bit differently. Right? Might explain
this,
some of them.
Sure is 24 will be a bang for sure.
You mean tonight? The latest show.
Well, I can't tell you.
No, don't say it. But you're referring to tonight or the whole series will be a bang?
Tonight.
Yeah, okay, great. It might synchronize with what we're talking about.
Probably more than you know.
Right. Now, but, you know, the 24 hours, that whole drama, That's what we're in. That's like the first 9 months of working with Ion. Because I feel that when I got to the reading 45, it's been very hard to get the 47 done through 46. There's a lot of time doing readings. But I think we've gotten to a point of understanding the last month that the 9-10 months led to. Would you agree? We came to, and that's why we're getting more readings. We've sort of, it's like Carol and I were incubated for 9 months privately with this course in Ion. Then when we sort of started to get it.
And that's about the way we described it, if you recall.
Oh, yeah, right. And so you said we'd get by reading 45, so I did it, and that was a good reading. That's why this is opening up for people. They're getting it because we've worked it through. We're the troubleshooters.
No, you're allowing it.
But we had to get prepared privately in our little cocoon here for 9 months, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, we got schooled. And then now we're ready to take it on. We're sort of got an understanding of the broad principles here. Okay, so we were talking about this method. Okay, so we're churning up. All this crazy stuff, the earthquakes and all the stuff that's happening, the 2012 meme, is definitely happening because it's thinning of the veil. And the figure, you know, the figure is like what we can see, the tip of the iceberg, for the thinning of the veil is Ion showing up, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that is why people, they're getting incredible reactions listening and engaging with Ion. It's like they're really being, the ecstatic responses we're getting from people that have private readings,
mm-hmm.
That can't wait for the next show. We're kind of a drug, right? We're ayahuasca on a new level. Would you agree?
Good.
What?
Good.
Yeah. Now here follows metaphor. McLuhan said that television was an extension of central nervous system. So I used to think of television as a head. I mean, we have our heads. You look out, your eyes and ears and movement. Then you watch a TV screen, and it's the camera, the live camera, moving around, taking in visual, acoustic, and movement data, like your head does. When we started watching television screens in the 50s, we were watching a head put on a shelf outside of us. We're looking at a head. You follow what I'm saying there? We're looking at a head. With following that pattern of extending, the non-physical has always been part of us. Just like television extended the central nervous system, Ion extends the non-physical so that it's sitting right in front of us, like the TV screen was our head sitting in front of us.
Yes, very good.
You like that? Good, I've been using that, and you don't mind me saying that.
No, it's fine, Bob.
Yeah, like the television is the first time we see our heads looking back at ourselves. This is the first time non-physical is talking back at us collectively. As a figure.
In a response that is... doesn't have to be gauged or calculated, can just freely flow.
In other words, it's not prescripted? Is that what you...
Yes, yes.
In a response that you can respond freely. It's an environment where you can respond. Nobody's controlling it.
Perfect.
That's what you mean. Nobody's interpreting you, like the Delphi Oracle. Nobody's Oprah-fying you that you can't have these questions. We'll screen the calls. So you appreciate the total free form that James and I and Carol have given you. That's a good thing.
Of course.
Right. So that's the first time non-physical's ever been a figure, but also a figure in total freedom of potential expression. That's what's new, right?
Good.
Yeah. So that's neat. Okay. So very interesting about Hitler. The Evergreens said that Hitler died in 1945, or transition. Ion, in talking to David, whoever it was, said, no, Hitler, now this is just temporary Ion, just let me go through the phase. No, Hitler, he riff-rode, he went to South America, and then he croaked. When did he croak? Oh, between Roosevelt and Truman. That means in the spring of 45, probably around the time we think of it. April 30th, May 1st, 1945. So that means that he went to South America, like a couple days before?
Right.
It was
right,
very
right.
very brief, this phase. Like, first,
sure.
when you first said it, it sounded like, oh, he went to South America and he was there for 10 years, then he croaked. But then when you said he croaked in 1945, okay, well, geez, he wouldn't have left till a few weeks before that. So he was that the first time he riff rode to South America?
No, well, it wasn't the first time he riff rode, but it is the first time he riff rode to that province.
In South America. So
yeah.
So you're saying that he was able to do riff riding during his tenure as Führer and all that?
Right.
Right, and did he start it before he was Führer?
A little bit before, yeah. A little bit before.
A little bit before, so... Why did he croak? Why didn't he stay in South America?
Mm-hmm. Too much contrast. Too much contrast is to have to go to a place where he was not the
Führer. Yeah, he was spoiled. He didn't want to. He couldn't handle just hanging out in a ranch or something, being anonymous. He was addicted to the being on stage. All right, so he was there very shortly. So he riff rode to South America, and then he came back to the bunker and died?
Yes.
And he came back. Coming back was his beginning of his suicide. He went to South America, did not like the situation, was not happy with it, decided to give up. So he comes back to the body and croaks.
Well, he didn't have to give it up. It was orchestrated.
Oh, he was murdered.
No. It was all right with him, but he was having too many smart things to say.
So some others assisted him in his suicidal wish to leave.
Good.
And who were those that did it? Borman and them? Or was Borman transitioned already?
No, not quite yet, but close. But that caliber is enough.
That caliber of people around him.
Yes.
And they, like Borman did, he croaked too, according to the Evergreens,
mm-hmm.
in 45. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a little later.
Did he get out of Germany?
No.
No, but a little later, but he didn't make it to 1946.
Right.
Yeah. And we know there's no time, but you know what I mean. He didn't get to interact with the Americans coming in to set up the rat lines and organizing the occupation
good.
Government. Just
good,
a second,
good,
Carol's
good.
Doing something here. Oh, does it look tight, Carol?
No.
You can put a new one on?
Not tonight.
So Hitler, just to complete that, what is Hitler, once he got into the eternal bliss, did he end up going to the Guff?
Yes.
So he resolved whatever judgment he had on himself.
Yeah, well, that didn't take but a second.
Right, because he'd already resolved those things before he became Führer, because he wouldn't have been able to riff ride.
He certainly, yes.
Okay, so... Oh, we're getting close to the end, but let's just see what else was there. Yeah, just a second. Ion, in passing, mentioned the Central Bank of Iraq in one of our rants, one of your rants, I think. That's a special place. Now, some of the conspiracy researchers say there's a big thing going on in the gold or whatever in the Central Bank. They place it as a very important economic fulcrum. Activities around the Central Bank, and you implied that by just mentioning it in a string of clauses of phrases. Could you go into what's going on at the Central Bank of Iraq?
Lots of money changing.
Is that because it's the new headquarters for those that want the pipeline in Asia, all that machinations over there, which people properly call Halliburton, Blackwater, but actually the organizing of the pipeline and the reason Americans or soldiers are there is
that structure is organized around the central bank. It's the platform for organizing American oil company energies in the Asia. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the new Jordan nexus. Jordan goes back several hundred years, correct? From the Ottoman, well, maybe that's just 1923. You know, 100 years ago when the Ottoman Empire collapsed, they went to Jordan, is how I understand it. It got focused there, the residue from the Ottoman Empire or elites.
Byzantine, yeah.
Yeah, Byzantine. But this Central Bank of Iraq, Central Bank of Iraq, is a new fulcrum point for new activities in Asia.
Good.
You see what I mean? Like a new Jordan Bank. You could even say it's the repository of the collapsed American Empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the Byzantine Empire collapsed, so then it deposits in Jordan Bank. The American Wall Street local national structure has collapsed, and those that have the ability to carry on its residue center it in Central Bank of Iraq. You like that?
Yeah.
Somebody has this trinity, mind, brain, body. So we could say body is physical, mind or brain is non-physical, and whatever's left between mind and brain would be labyrinth of the mind. So would brain, can we put brain as non-physical, mind as labyrinth of the mind, and body as the physical? You know, mapping our trinity up of this person. You follow that? Do you think that's possible? Now, before you answer, that might be possible when I re-listen to our analysis of the brain, when we had that discussion a few weeks ago about what's the laying of tracks on the brain. The brain is tactility. The brain's not physical. Remember, we were jumping all over the place and it was very confusing, and I don't know what we decided. But I can see the way Ian was talking about it. It implied non-physical was in the brain. You remember saying something like that? It was gray, even though it was just
shades
of gray. You remember that
confusion?
We were talking about the non-physical as if it was physical, because shades of gray implies physical stuff. That whole complexity might allow this trinity of mind, brain, body. Mind is the labyrinth of the mind. Body is non-physical. And brain as the close to the non-physical would be non-physical. You follow what I'm saying there? That could work? The mind-brain-body dialectic, no, the trinity of mind-brain-body could be mind equals labyrinth mind, brain equals non-physical, body equals physical. They don't know this, but the way they use brain, but the way we discussed brain in that session a few weeks ago, it did have non-physical things in there. Which then comes to an interesting point. The brain itself, okay, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Then within the physical, we got the three kingdoms. And then within the, three kingdoms. The structure of the physical is the three kingdoms. The structure of the non-physical is the layers of heaven. The structure of the labyrinth of mind would be what that we've touched on? What we were trying to discuss in that brain dialogue?
Yes, the fuller dynamic.
Yeah, the laying of tracks, the other things that were said. That, you know what I mean? We can take the non-physical, the map of that part of our trinity is the layers of heaven that we've gone into, levels of heaven. The map of the physical is the three kingdoms, which are doubled. And then, so the map of the labyrinth of the mind, other than what we did in that discussion about brain, tactility, non-physical, and all this jumping around, gray matter, laying of tracks, is there some other things you would add as a map on the brain, or the labyrinth of the mind? The map of the labyrinth of the mind would have what as its substructure, or its parts?
11 gigahertz of power.
Okay. And that's electrical?
Yeah.
Gigahertz. So the electricity factor in the brain is the structure that Now, does the brain act as a switchboard like the middle kingdom does between the inner and outer kingdom?
Certainly.
Right. See, so that the three kingdoms are one setup of three. within the brain is a micro version of those three. There's probably a three thing going on inside the brain between the electricity of 11 megahertz and two other things. The gray matter and what? And the laying of tracks?
Yes.
That might be the three parts, right?
The connection thereof, yes.
That's pretty good.
Good. How are you rolling?
No, I think that's it. I wanted to end. That's very good. But didn't I do good tonight? I did pretty good.
You did fabulous.
Yeah.
You did fabulous. It's very fun.
Oh, here's it to finish that point. Is talking to I, since it says in one of the readings I just heard today, talking to McLuhan as the soul is like talking to a tape recording. Is talking to Ion like talking to a tape recording?
Yes.
Is it, I would assume it's a little more complex tape recording than talking to a soul as a tape recording.
Of course, you don't know. You haven't given interpretation yet.
Of what?
Of the effect of non-physical within your beingness of something occurring.
Right, because having done many hours, I noticed there is basic themes that you will not erase. You will always fall back and state them. You have like a message, and that message could go over and over and be played like a tape recording. So you are a tape recording. But then there's probably more interactive nowness and expanding of moreness on top of the recording. You essentially the
perfect
theme, perfect, right? Perfect.
Yeah.
The soul is a dead tape recording. Ion is a living, ongoing, expanding tape recording.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Okay.
And the last one, does thought go to the guff?
Yes, as unrealized creations. Yes.
Right, because I remember Ed asking, is there tactility in ESP or is there tactility in non-physical? And Ion said no. And we now know tactility is contrast, so there wouldn't be tactility in the non-physical. But thought is not limited to the physical.
Very good.
But manifested thought is limited to the physical. Unmanifested thought goes to the guff. So it's not exactly like thought in this world. It's a finer thought.
Say it again.
It's a finer thought that goes into the guff since it's unmanifested.
Well, not finer. It's just you don't drag the manifestations with you there. You just take the unrealized creations back, and that's what's expanding individual humans.
Right. Now, could you bring the term antimatter in to mean thought that goes in, unmanifested thought that goes into the guff? Could antimatter come in there to say that's what that is, as opposed to manifested thought here?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, because way back at the beginning, I think antimatter was the thought before it manifested, right? Okay.
Okay,
we'll leave it at that.
Very wonderful. Thank you very, very much. We are forever finally non-physical.
Yes. Thank you.